It's June 3rd, 2013, and you're listening to The Job. This is The Job, a talk show about design, music, business, culture, and Portland. I'm your host, Ray Briglib. Our guest on episode 16 is photographer Josh Ross. But first, let's talk to Need More studio director Candace. Hi, Candace.
Ray.
How are you?
Fabulous.
Beautiful.
It is a sunny day.
Yeah.
In Portland.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think they're delivering our new computer right now as we speak.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's exciting.
Yep, that is going to Karina, who just did a fist pump of enthusiasm over there. It's a Retina MacBook Pro, so
oh wow,
who wouldn't be excited to get that one?
Well, I think that the designer in the house needs the Retina.
I kind of think everyone does. It's just a matter of affording them, so we're working on it.
Do they make my computer and
check back next week after WWDC. I suspect they will announce one.
Wow, because I had all sorts of computer problems this
morning. I know
you
did. Both you and Dan are using archaic Stone Age computers that need to be replaced. So, and both lack Retina displays. You're kind of the holdout. So,
where are we in the world where a 2.5 year old computer is considered Stone Age? Though, I mean.
West Coast.
I felt like I just got that computer. I just fell in love with it.
You've had the computer like 3 years. You got to pull up the like...
3 years. Okay, so say it's 3 years.
Well, listen.
That to me doesn't sound like a long time. It takes me a long time to really get used to something and
get used to it.
I have the same pieces of clothing for like 10 years, and it's 10 years in really have found their rhythm.
Well,
you're going to yank that computer away before we've even bonded.
Here's the thing, though. Our job isn't to build websites for today. Our job is to build websites for 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. So we need computers that'll still work 5 years from now. That'll still be the type of computer. So we need the latest and greatest. That's our job.
My job.
I can't do my job if I don't have the latest computer.
My job is to get to know our clients well and form long-term relationships and really understand what it is that they want and need. And
okay,
so,
that's why you're the person who actually talks to the clients, and I'm the one who orders the computers.
Right. So it's part of my personality is that I like to get to know something or someone and spend time, and it's hard for me to let go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a stalker.
No.
But.
No one's saying you're a stalker.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I do know that the source of all of my issues with my computer this morning was the fact that I let it, run out of
battery.
Yeah. And then I tried to do a whole bunch of like really fancy things when it was like plugged in, but probably still had like 1% only of.
Okay.
I'll admit that now.
Sure. I know how you treat a computer, and that's why I'm so excited to get one that's a Retina Air. I think that'll...
The Retina's really gonna make it through.
Well... Pointless.
So, and then my iPhone...
Yeah.
I was taking a super cute... video of my little girl this morning, and it popped up something saying that I couldn't record the video anymore because it was out of space.
Yeah, so you should clean off some of that, some space. You should empty up some space.
I don't know how to do that. I have no idea how to do
really?
That. You know, have you noticed that I'm the one that goes to meetings with like pen and paper still? Like, I'm there for
fear
the...
of that notice popping up on your any device, really.
I'm really there for the story.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's... You know, many great people have used pen and paper.
Thank you.
Mostly that. Because computers hadn't been invented and lots of great people... But no, I think that there's absolutely a place for pen and paper in this day and age. And if it's really important, you can always take a photo and put it in your notebook.
This is actually why I've been thinking about using my iPad more.
Yeah.
For things like meetings, because I'm the kind of person who needs to sort of be drawing, or like I'll write something and I'll write something else and I want to draw a line from one to the other, or those kind of, the way those the words interact, to me it's not like typing, it's more like circling something and highlighting it and drawing, and I can't really do that on my computer. So in a meeting I feel like very restricted with a computer, but I mean with an iPad there are apps where I could essentially mimic that.
Yeah.
Yes. And that would go right into Evernote.
Yes.
Right.
Well, they bought Penultimate, which is a very nice app for sketching in a literally a Moleskine notebook style thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
And when it just automatically syncs to Evernote now.
Why don't I have that?
You what do have that. Oh. You do have that. You have a pen tool and everything for your iPad.
Great. So we'll get started on that.
Yes. And in fact, we're getting you that one of those little Logitech keyboard covers.
I'm set. Remember? Yeah. Super excited.
You're set.
Yep.
I bet you are psyched. Pumped.
Do you know what was exciting? This weekend was the first weekend in a long time that I've gone to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And that was so fun to sort of walk up and down the aisles and peruse the place. But so what happened, though, is that I at some point got lost from my group. Well, that you, actually. And I had let my iPhone die. And I had left it with you.
Yeah.
And so there was this moment where I was completely confused about how to deal with the fact that there were no there was no way to call each other. I'm not just gonna keep talking. Okay. I don't know how to do that. Just handed you a computer and then asked who you were.
wait, where am I?
You did order a computer, right? Yeah, so I was realizing how much I've come to rely on technology, in that I literally had no idea how to find you among the hordes of people there. It's frightening. I literally was like, what did people used to do before everyone was carrying a phone? And then you tried to use Find My Friend and realized what you were following yourself.
I had both phones with me.
Awesome. Ah, technology.
She should be right here.
It's
awful.
I also received a very, very interesting text this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I would say I would consider it sexting.
Except it wasn't meant for you.
except that the next text was, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Candace. That wasn't for you."
Please delete that photo.
I have one very embarrassed friend right now.
Yeah, there wasn't a photo, though.
There was no photo.
I was just kidding.
There didn't need to be a photo.
Yeah.
What else? What's going on, Ray?
I don't know. I was going to tell you about our guest.
Go for it.
Well, actually, since I do this over the music now, really, we're done.
Okay, then. Well, it's been great.
Yeah. It's been great. Now, don't try to steal those, because those go with the book.
Okay. All right, there you go.
You're just playing with them.
They're pretty. They're really pretty. You are not going to look at these. Can I just give you, like, some Post-its and cut them?
I really don't care.
Okay. You won't even notice the difference.
Let's talk to Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Yeah, beautiful lovely day.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. So let's start at the beginning. Where are you from?
So I'm actually from Idaho. I'm okay. from a tiny town in Idaho near McCall, which is sort of a resort town some people know. But yeah, it's a tiny little town, 650 people. And then I lived briefly in Moscow and Pullman. And then I went to high school in Los Angeles, and I went to college in LA, and I've been out there till the last fall.
Okay. Wow. So you're recently of Portland.
Very recently of Portland.
Do you still do work in LA?
I do.
Yeah.
My client base is, you know, my business was built in LA.
Yeah.
So most of my contacts and sort of the people I know are in LA. I obviously I'd love to transition as much as I can to Portland, but I still do a lot of work in LA.
Do you fly down there?
I do.
Yeah. I guess that would be easier to take pictures if you're actually there.
Well, sometimes people, I mean, so I've been doing a lot of still life and product work over the last year.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they just ship it to me.
Right.
Which is, you know,
that's I mean, nice.
It is nice.
Yeah. So why did you leave LA then?
It's very, I am very clear on this, and it's very simple. Traffic, the weather, and I guess that's it, actually. Just traffic and weather are the number two thing, or the two big thing reasons that I left. The traffic is horrible. It is terrible. It is, I can't even explain to you how bad it is. And it is 24/7.
Yeah.
12 o'clock at night on a Saturday, you're in stop-and-go traffic if you drive anywhere near downtown. And for me, all the agency meetings that I typically take, which is a good portion of my workload is just meeting with people, is you really got to give an hour and a half to 2 hours to get somewhere that's 20 minutes away. And it might take you 30 minutes or it might take you an hour and a half and you just don't know. So you got to block that time.
Yeah.
And I'm just so tired of it. And then the weather. So everyone thinks, oh, the weather's fantastic in LA. Yeah, if you live in Santa Monica or Venice on the beach, then it's fantastic. The rest of LA is the desert and it sucks.
Oh, like it's, inland, you just don't get that.
Yeah, it's just super hot and like, I mean, this is a perfect, today in Portland is a perfect example of what people think LA is like.
Right.
And what it is never like.
Yeah, that's how I felt about like visiting Las Vegas. It's like, Las Vegas, it's sunny, you should come visit. And it's like 110 degrees.
It's just brutal heat most of the time. It's just, it's no good.
Yeah. Understandable. So yeah. You're liking Portland so far?
Love it.
Yeah.
I can't say enough good things about it. I really love it. It was basically everything that I had hoped it would be. There's no traffic. The one thing I did not count on is how nice people are.
Yeah.
Like just like, I would never describe people in LA as not being nice. People in Portland are ridiculously nice.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
We lived in our house. We owned a house in LA, and we lived there for 5 years. And we like talked to our neighbors like a handful of times, maybe.
Uh-huh.
We've been here for like since the fall, what, like 6 months or something. And I chat with our neighbors like almost every day. People
that's
when
nice
we moved when we moved in, people like drove by and slowed down, and we're like, "Oh, hey, welcome to the neighborhood." It was just blows me away how nice people are.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, they didn't know. Did they know you're from California?
When
I first moved here, there was a big like, quit coming here from California. But I don't sense that anymore.
I don't sense that.
Maybe it was just a fad.
So I've been kind of, you know, kind of like when I travel, I almost want to say I'm Canadian. But when people ask me where I'm from, I often sort of want to trend towards saying I'm from Idaho. I mean, which is true. But I haven't noticed any. No one seems to care.
That's good. So I noticed that you used to do graphic design.
Yes.
So why did you leave your first love?
So I went to school for design, and I did that for about 10 years, and I did love it. I think it wasn't that I think the thing that I loved about it was just always problem solving. And the thing that I found to be a challenge, and I would imagine that is something that you guys run into, because I especially found it with web work, is that you don't, everything is so drawn out and slow. Like, you brought in to solve a problem, and by the time, like especially with web work, I found by the time you actually are out the door and it's completed, it can be such a long process. And I just found it to be challenging after a long time, after a while. And with photography, you're sort of, you know, since you're always freelance and brought in on a project, the problem solving is very, the period is very short. It's like you come, so they have a problem, you come in, you provide a solution in a few days, a week maybe, and then you're on to the next thing.
Can I tell you something? I hate my job. Can't stand it here. I think everyone's got headphones on right now. Oh, no, just kidding. Do you want another more water or a beer or something?
Sure, I'd love a beer.
Okay, it's nice enough to have a beer.
Yeah, why not?
Can we pause this? I'm just kidding. Hey, thanks, Candace. Candace Briglip, everybody.
So yeah, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. With
no, that's an excellent point. That is a challenge because sometimes it can be, it can routinely be 6 months from like the inception of a project to the launch. It's over there by the door, kind of. Yeah, there you go. That's absolutely true. I absolutely feel that way. Even just going through like a round of mock-ups, it seems takes as long as like your whole project cycle.
Yeah. So yeah, and it's just, I love to come in, have a very specific need, solve it, and then move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
And I also, the thing that's great about design is sort of seeing the finished product and like, you sort of have this wow moment. You look at it and you go, God, it looks great.
Yeah.
And you get that great high. And it's a challenge when it only comes every 6 months.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the projects overlap. So I do get that high maybe once a month, but still.
Yeah.
So totally understandable. So how long have you been doing photography? When?
So I officially went out on my own as a photographer in 2009, like 4 years now, I guess.
Okay.
I was working as the art director in-house at a place, and I had the opportunity to leave, and I did.
So were you doing print design work or web?
I was doing everything. I was the only art director. I was the entire department, and it was primarily print, although, it was everything. It was web also.
Okay.
I didn't study web in school, and I never fully made a transition to it. I was really sort of rooted in print, but the world is as it is, and I did as much web as I had the opportunity to.
Right. So did you have a training in photography, or is it just kind of just took over?
Yeah, I didn't have any training in photography specifically. Mm-hmm. The actual mechanics of using the camera, I just learned that. It's all out there if you want to spend the time.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that I went to school for art. I think it's very important, and I always, a lot of photographers say that you don't need to or whatever, but I think it's really important. If nothing else, for just to learn. One of the things that I really love about having art education is gaining an understanding of how to evaluate work. Just to be able to look at work and go, that's good and this is not. And because if you can understand that your work is not good, then you will eventually become good. But if you don't even have the understanding to know that your work is no good, you'll never go anywhere.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a valid point. So you've always shot digital, fair to say?
I have always shot digital. Okay. So I shoot film actually fairly often. It tends to go up and down, but I shoot film fairly often. My favorite camera is a Rolleiflex that I have. I also have a Pentax K1000 that was I didn't know it at the time, but my dad and I always used it when I was five. And
the Pentax, is that a 35 millimeter?
Yes, a 35 millimeter film camera that was very it was a very ubiquitous camera that it's totally manual and it's very simple and it's really light, and it was just, everybody had it. And even up to a few years ago, it was like the student camera because it's really cheap and very basic. So I have that camera. I love that also. And then I have a various collection of other film cameras. And I shoot that from time to time. I've never shot it on a client work. It's just too... I tend to be sort of a person that likes to double check.
Mm-hmm.
And film is, it's a little bit nerve wracking. I have sometimes shot film like concurrently, like I'll shoot on digital and know that I have it and then pull out a film camera and also shoot something. And if I get it, then it's great. And I've shot some personal work that I up until recently had on my site that was film work.
Okay. So when you're shooting digital, is it the kind of, I mean, maybe it depends on the type of work, but are you kind of checking your work as you go on a display, or is this just you're just looking in the camera to see how it's going when you do that?
So my ideal workflow is to be shooting tethered, and okay. I prefer to do that okay. all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could, I mean, I just prefer to do that. My favorite way to work is with a great art director, and we're both there, and we're shooting tethered, and we shoot stuff and we both bounce ideas and then we look at it and we make adjustments. And that way at the end of the day, we know that it's there, it's done. It's everything's signed off on, everyone's happy and it's, we got it.
Yeah.
I sometimes shoot just, working with the back of the camera. Although I don't have the latest, greatest cameras and the new ones, the displays are pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is, I can kind of check. And especially once you know it, I have a sense of right. what's happening.
Yeah.
But it's not where I'm like really able to check things on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it would seem like being a person who likes to check things that even just the back of camera is just woefully inadequate for most of that stuff.
Yeah. There's so many times when I was like early when I started shooting, I would think, oh yeah, this is great. I got it.
Yeah.
And then you bring it up on the computer and you look at it and it's just totally out of focus.
Totally, yeah. Like there's like, oh, yeah.
And you yep. just can't tell. You just,
yeah. There's just, or otherwise you're just zooming, zoom, 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 yeah, zoom, yeah. zoom. Okay, that one screwed up. Out and zoom, yeah. zoom, zoom. Yeah. It seems like you do kind of different types of work. Is there like, do you prefer portrait or landscape or what's the kind of
so
stuff?
So when I started, so these days I do commercial portrait work and still life work or product work. I call it still life. Some people call it product, but,
still life sounds better.
Yeah, I like yeah. it. so when I started, I did all portrait work. But I my background, especially as a designer, I did a lot of, retouching and I mm-hmm. have worked as a retoucher at various times in my life and worked, I did a bunch of work for like GMC and Nissan, I think, doing retouching. And so that was like, and the first design, like a first good agency job I had was at a company that did the dealer brochures for GMC and Kia, but I only worked on GMC. So we would go move into the photographer's agent, studio for about 3 months at a time. And I would retouch everything coming off the camera and, I'd work with the art director, and at the end of each shot, we would have something that, from my point of view, could have gone to print, and the client would sign off on it, and then we would make changes if they needed, and we would go back and forth with that. And then they would take my work, and then they would take larger files off the camera, and a retouching house would duplicate it. And so I had all this background in the product work. But when I first started in photography, what I think I've come to learn is that, so there's a really interesting thing about when you work with people, you're not the only creative in there. Like it's not, everything's not up to you. And you have this great dynamic of, if you work with someone, a great model, then they bring something to the table and you get this great back and forth and you never quite know what you're going to get. And when I was new, I was like, oh, this is great because it's not all you and you get some feedback and you have some back and forth and it's great. And as I've progressed more, I think that I enjoy controlling it more. And the product work is all like, it's just me in the studio and it's very technical and it's,
mm-hmm.
it's very retouching heavy. And I have come to really enjoy that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sort of make things look perfect.
Yeah. Talking about portraits a little more for a minute, I really do like your portrait work a lot. I was really enjoying that website. What to you makes a great portrait, or what kind of a relationship with the subject is it that you're looking for, or what makes a great picture of that?
So I tend to work, I mean, this is another thing about my portraits, is I tend to work with the model as if they're a product. Okay. Which can be good or bad. It just is. It's not a, you know. And so I typically will think out a portrait in a very methodical way, and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to get. I'm not typically someone that, there are some photographers that just, like, I've seen guys that just go out in the camera or out in the city with a model and they sort of walk around, and at the end of the day they have, you know, 300 shots and, you know, 50 of them are great. And but I just don't work like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much, like, I sort of think it through, and I have this idea of what I want to get, and I, you know, I find the right model, or I work with somebody, and we shoot to get that shot. And at the, you know, from my point of view, I often, like, I'm very happy to just be like, okay, this is the shot, we got it, and we're done. You know, with commercial work, depending on what you're doing, you provide more than that, or, you know, it just depends. But so I very much work with the model. I like to tell them ahead of time what we're going for, to show them stuff and mm-hmm. go, okay, like, this is what we're going to try and get. And we'll shoot some, and we'll look at it on the computer, and then we'll make adjustments, and we'll shoot some more. And we just try to get that iconic shot, that shot.
Right.
So I think that answers the question.
Do you have, like, a setup, like in your house, or are you, like, where do you usually shoot those, like, portraits?
So my portrait work, I don't have a studio in Portland these days.
Okay.
I do have a space at my house that is a studio, but I don't really, I mean, I don't really bring anybody there.
It's more for product.
Yeah, I mean, shops. If it was some, like, if I was screwing around some personal project, I could bring people there. I mean, it's big enough. Mm-hmm. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Any sort of commercial work, I rent studios.
Okay.
And I found some great studios that I've rented. Or I do a lot of I do a lot of work on location as well. Okay. Like, oftentimes I come to people's offices, or I guess houses I've even shot at. But mm-hmm. And I was doing this one work for this one series for Yogi Times, and I. It was the influencers in the LA yoga scene. And so, I mean, they're famous people, but they're not, like, they're not Madonna. They're kind of, like, if you're in the yoga scene, you kind of know them. But, and that was all shot at people. Like, I would just go all kinds of crazy things and shoot in people's hallways and just ridiculous stuff. Uh-huh. So, yeah, whatever space, I can make things work.
What's the biggest challenge when you're shooting people, like, portrait?
The biggest challenge, so I typically have not worked with models in my career. Mm-hmm. Models are great to work with, but just the work I do, it's usually not, I usually don't end up working with models. The biggest challenge is to get people to go, like, sort of forget what they think they know about a picture. Mm-hmm. So people have this idea that you're supposed to smile and you're supposed to look and you're supposed to, like, these things that you're supposed to do.
Right.
Or they go, oh, I have a side or whatever it is. They think they know something. And then you try to get them to just relax and, like, we're just going to have a conversation and you don't have to smile and, you know, just, yeah, we're going to just shoot a picture.
Yeah. Do you have, like, are there photographers, like, contemporary photographers that you really like or that you're really inspired by?
There are a ton of photographers that, so, although I had an art education and did a bunch of art history, and I really don't look at classical stuff. Mm-hmm. I look at a ton of other photographers' websites, and I've heard, and I sort of have seen this in the case, some photographers look at other work and some photographers don't. I'm definitely someone that looks at other people's work, and I look at other people's work constantly. Mm-hmm. And I have a whole list of, You know, anytime I see somebody's website that I really like,
yeah,
I have a Daijo. It used to be a what's the company that used to do it? It used to be owned by Yahoo. Their social bookmarking thing.
Oh, like Delicious?
Yeah, I used to have a Delicious account, but then they, when they got sold, I left them.
Yeah.
But you think of that. I mean, I have a I have an online bookmarking, and I have a few hundred websites that of photographers that I really like, and they're all sort of categorized, and I look at them constantly.
Okay.
But I don't. I typically don't name names when I'm asked about like who I really like, only because, well, there's a few reasons. Right now, it's because I don't. It's like I won't have them off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, the real reason is because they tend to be people that are either at the same place in their career as me or slightly ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're some great far away person.
Right.
It's like they're very close, and I don't necessarily like to, you know, I would tell them, but I don't necessarily like to broadcast that.
Sure. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I think I would imagine that there's probably like web designers who like try to avoid looking at websites that other, you know, their contemporaries are making because they want their work to be more pure or something. But I'm like you, I'm, I have a pile of bookmarks and I love looking at other people's stuff because, you know, it just gives you ideas and,
yeah,
you know, it helps you keep your standards high, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, that goes back to what I was saying about the, you know, really understanding how to look at work is, I mean, you have to practice. I look at tons and tons of photography so that I can, you know, it's like studying for school or something. I sort of follow the trends and I see where things are going, and I, if I'm thinking about doing a shot, I like to look at, you know, how have other people shot it and sort of what worked and what didn't and just assess it. And I figure it's all been done anyway, so.
It's all been done, yeah. That's true. At least I don't probably have that problem in web design.
That it's all been done?
Right.
I mean, I guess it's always progressing.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, I'm sure there are innovations in photography, but with web, it's like you look, if you were to leave the industry for 6 months and come back, it'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that stuff. Like, wow, that's crazy, you know?
Well, one thing I'm finding is, so I've been doing a lot of splash work lately, like liquids and things.
Oh, okay.
And it's been an interesting space to be in because for the first time in my career, there's very few people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually rather hard to find to like with portraits, there's 100 websites you could look at and look through, like think through every aspect of a shot. And with the splash work, there's actually very few people that are doing it, and you can get some ideas and you can look at some stuff, but there's not a lot out there. So yeah, it's been. I guess I can understand with the web design thing. Sort of, it's a fairly new thing that I've come up against where I'm like, oh, there's no one else to really look at here. It's good and it's exciting. It's different.
Talking about change in that sort of industry, do you think, you know, like there's kind of this new sort of conceptual cameras coming out that are focusless and stuff like that? Have you read up on those at all? Is that something you think?
So I know about them,
the Lytra.
Yeah, the Lytra.
Yeah.
I tend to be kind of a curmudgeon about camera stuff.
Uh-huh.
In that, really, what I would like a camera to do is I need aperture, I need shutter speed, and I need the button to click. Like, I really am very,
very basic.
Yeah, I don't need a lot. I'm happy, you know, things like the ISO getting better and things like that are pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not someone that's really crazy into like the latest, greatest gadget on a camera because I really don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never take my camera off the manual. And it's not because I'm trying to be like, you know, like some guy that...
You're like the fixed gear bicyclist.
Yeah, I'm not like that. It's not, it's just I just don't need it.
I will not gear shift.
Yeah, I just, if there was some great thing that made it be great, then fine. But I, you know, like Photoshop is a perfect example. Every new Photoshop that comes out, they're like, oh, there's this great new thing, and then you don't use it.
That is so true. Yeah.
You use it like 3 times because you're like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And you might, every couple generations, there's one new thing that you might incorporate into your workflow. But for the most part,
yeah,
it's really the same since like 3 or 2 or something.
Yeah, it's very true. Do you own Instagram?
No.
Thought about it?
Sure. So I'm not against Instagram. I have no problem, real problem with Instagram. Although someone else actually just asked me about Instagram. My thing about Instagram is that, so I'm heavy into social networking. I do tons of Twitter and Facebook and a lot of LinkedIn for business stuff. I just don't really see the place for Instagram. So I have built a community through Twitter and Facebook. And when I want to show a picture, that's where I show it. And I don't really see the need to go build another community.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish that Google Plus was awesome and Facebook died, but it is what it is. So, but it's not like Instagram is something where I'm like, oh, I really hope they succeed. You know what I mean?
I'm
happy to show my work on Facebook, or even Twitter and Flickr. I actually use Flickr a lot. It's sort of a different, it's a different audience. It's
right.
A photographer audience. And the other thing about Instagram, which I mentioned when someone asked me about it, was that, so I love having a phone and camera and using that, but it's very separate than, like, it's like a split personality. It's, you know, my business stuff is on a good camera, and anytime I put something out through those channels, like from that camera, it better be top-notch, because... I mean, art directors are judging it.
Right.
If I put something out there and it's sort of subpar, then
yeah.
They go, well, maybe next time I hire him, I'm going to get that subpar picture.
Just going to get this crap.
Yeah.
So when I want to
shoot something that's just a snapshot, then I want to use my camera on my cell phone, and I really don't care if it looks good. I have mm-hmm. no interest in it being like some artsy great thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point is that it just looks like whatever. So it just goes back to that. I don't really see the place for Instagram.
Understandable. I'm just curious, and this is totally off the topic, but why are you hoping that Google Plus takes off? I'm just purely curious.
Because it's wonderful. Have you used it?
Why do you like it? I'm just curious.
Things work.
Yeah.
So Facebook is very much... I find them so frustratingly lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're the kind of developers that I wouldn't want to work with.
Uh-huh.
But if I was working with them, I would fire them.
Yeah.
It was like they just leave stuff that doesn't quite work, and they don't think things through, and then they come out with a new version, and they haven't fixed the old stuff, and they never quite think it through.
Yeah, Google Plus a little more elegant.
Yeah, and it's just they're engineers, and they innovate, and they see a problem and they fix it, and they don't just come out with some new thing that, you know, just Facebook just frustrates me.
Yeah.
But they have a great audience. It's not that I have a problem with the audience. It's just tools of it.
A billion people can't be wrong.
No, exactly. I just wish that they would, I mean, a perfect example of my problem with Facebook is the Facebook Android app.
Okay.
Like, as if like 3 people use it and there's no one on Android or something.
Mm.
The freaking thing crashes constantly. It never works right. I find it so funny.
Well, now you can install Facebook Home and it can take over your whole phone.
If you are Facebook and you're releasing something that gets one star on Google Play, you have a problem. Like, it's not like they don't have resources.
Well, yeah, definitely. So what do you do the rest of the time when you're not taking pictures? What are your hobbies? What are your...
So, I mean, I have a son. He's a year and 13 months, I guess. Just 13 months, not a year. He's 13 months. And so that takes a lot of my time these days.
Sure.
I also run, do some cycling when I have some time. I used to rock climb and do speed skating on rollerblades, which is kind of weird, but I always rollerbladed, and so when I got older, I tried that. So a lot of like athletic outdoor stuff. But these days, since I've moved to Portland, my new like hobby is I've been brewing hard cider.
Oh, okay.
I've been loving it. It's very Portland too. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, mostly these days, my son takes my time. I play some video games. I play a ton of StarCraft, I have to admit.
Well,
once mom and baby go to sleep, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm done working, and you know, like I'll play some StarCraft.
So when you take pictures of your son, is it generally, do you just say, I don't want to get out the camera and just use your phone?
So I have two ways of doing it, and it goes back to my earlier discussion of like the dichotomy of,
yeah.
So either I use my cell phone and I take snapshots and it's great.
Yeah.
That camera is always with me and I never hesitate to take a picture on it. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be great. It just has to be, I mean, the point is to show something, not, you know. But I will also use him, you know, I also shoot stuff of professional quality with him.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do it as often as I can.
How do you get him to hold still long enough for that?
You have to design it around him.
Yeah.
You have to sort of. So there was the last studio shot I did of him. It was about 4 months ago, maybe, and I think he was just. Actually, it must have been more than that. But he was just sort of starting to stand on his own.
Oh.
And so what I had did was I had his mom hold him, but you only see her arm, like her arm, and he's holding onto it. And you don't get a lot of shots. Like, it's not like you're going to shoot tethered and make sure it's perfect. And
sure. No.
It's like you got to test everything. You sit him down. You get, like, 10 shots, and if you don't have it, you're done.
Yeah.
I have also shot kids before in general, and it's just a lot of work. You just play and... You just look for the, you know, you just sort of pay attention. You set everything up. You set everything up in such a way that it's real forgiving. And then you just sort of play and you wait for the moment and you snap a shot.
Yeah. So when you're, and this is probably an aside that I should have brought up earlier, but when you're like doing work, say the product work with someone who's in LA.
Yeah.
And you need to do some stills for them, some product shots, some, what did you call them? Splashes.
Yeah. I do some splashes.
Yeah. Are you kind of like just sending samples to them by email, or how do you collaborate with someone who's that far away? What tools do you use?
Yeah, primarily just email.
Yeah.
If I can, like
I'm always curious about this kind of
stuff. I always try to get them to like set some time aside that they're available on chat.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a fantastic way of doing it.
Is like a Skype kind of thing?
I don't Skype because then... I mean, I would if somebody wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, I like to let them work while I work through something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just want them sort of sitting at the computer so that I can say, hey, what about this? And shoot them a quick picture.
I see.
And like, you know, am I going in the right direction? That kind of thing. And I show them something. Typically, though, what it ends up being is that we sort of talk about it ahead of time, and we have a basic understanding of how things are going to go, and I shoot some stuff, and I show it to them, and it's going on the right track, or it's not, and eventually we get to a point where, you know, it's going along on the right way, and I just show them stuff at every, early and often is what I try to do.
Okay.
So I go... You know, here's a shot directly out of the camera. I only want you to look at, just look at the lighting in this section. Is this starting to look right? Is this what you're looking for? And they go, yes. And then I go, okay. And then I move on and I get the next piece. And then I go, okay, this is all done. And then I'm going to put this through post-production if we're ready. And they go, yeah, that looks great. And I do the production on it and send it off to them.
You use like Lightroom?
So I can work without Lightroom, but it would be crazy at this point. I love Lightroom. I cannot say enough good things about it.
Have you played with the version four beta yet?
I haven't. I think it's 5, but I have not played with it.
I'm sure it has some great features that you're going to love. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's so funny because that's exactly, I looked at it And I was like, yeah, those are things I don't need. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lightroom, one thing that's nice about Lightroom is it's not super expensive.
Right, yeah, no. Yeah.
So I might upgrade the Lightroom. But
it's like $99, right?
It's, I don't remember if it's $99 or $199.
Yeah.
But I think they run specials and it's sometime $99.
Yeah.
And then nowadays you could be on the Creative Cloud. I'm not, but I mean, if you were doing that, then...
That would not be feasible just for that app because it's like $50 a month.
Right, but I mean...
But yeah, it's basically they throw it in for free for us. I mean, if we... But the thing is, I still use Aperture because I can open my iPhoto library and I have years and years and years of iPhoto.
So I don't have... So of course I work on a Mac, but I don't use iPhoto.
You don't use... Yeah.
In fact, I don't even have the iApps installed. Mm. I uninstalled them at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing about it is I really never had that sort of understanding of how Apple, like the Apple philosophy behind iPhoto and Aperture.
Yeah.
Whereas Adobe, I mean, my whole career I've worked with Adobe. So mm-hmm. When you work in Lightroom, it's the Adobe philosophy. And I understand that because I've always worked with Photoshop.
It's funny. With Lightroom, I feel like the reason I like Lightroom is because it doesn't feel like a damn Adobe product. It feels like its own thing. And it's kind of like switching from like Facebook to like Google Plus for me.
Sure.
It's like things like Photoshop and Illustrator, they just feel like they have the weight of 25 years, a quarter century of baggage.
True.
And Lightroom just feels like they were just like they took like their best and brightest and locked them in a room and said, do something crazy. And like, you know, the interface is completely out of the blue and like its own thing. Like there's no other app like it. And I do like that a lot.
That is actually true. I would agree with that. Although if you open it's really just Camera Raw wrapped in its own wrapper.
Yeah.
With a library.
That's true.
Or it's like what's the Bridge? It's Bridge mixed with Camera Raw.
Yeah. Do you use a Retina laptop or Mac or anything?
Sure, I'd love to. You can anytime you'd like to ship me one.
Oh, that's funny. I have one. No, I was just curious because, like, for us doing the web design stuff, like Bridge is really handy,
right?
But there's relatively little cause to use
Lightroom.
Lightroom, thank you.
I can imagine.
But Bridge, it feels like a very neglected product. I mean, I totally sympathize with Adobe. They've got to prioritize. They've got so many apps out there that, you know, certain ones are moneymakers. And definitely Lightroom is one of those, you know.
I mean, you can't even buy Bridge separately, right?
Right.
It just comes with Photoshop.
Yeah. But it's just like, the changes for CS6 are just like, you know, we fixed 3 bugs, but it's like literally that app hasn't changed in like 10 years. So
no, I completely agree.
Yeah,
I did used to use Bridge for, you know, clients give you a disk full of assets or something, and it's nice to be able to flip through. And
right, good way to look at the thumbnails. Yeah. So having a jam session out there.
Yeah.
So the photography thing doesn't pan out. What's the fallback?
There's no fallback.
I'm kind of joking. I like the answer, though.
You can't. You got to just go all in. Otherwise,
absolutely. Yeah. This is kind of maybe a cliche question, but you know, if someone else is looking at your work and saying that looks like so much fun, so much better than this web design shit.
Yeah.
Like, what do you recommend someone do to? Like, it's like you seem like a pretty good example. Like, you have no formal education really in that. Like, what would you recommend, like, someone who's on a different career path who says, I really want to try my hand at that? What would your advice be?
Well, my first thing is I would caution them that it is not, as with any job, it is a job and it is not like the fun part.
Don't you dare compete with me.
No, it's just like. It's, you know, I think photography is one of those things. And, I would actually say, like, being a musician, it could be like this, too. People think, oh, I'm going to be a musician. It's so great. I'm going to play guitar and get girls. And, yeah, you know what being a musician or being a photographer is? It's being a salesperson.
Yeah.
You gotta hustle.
Yeah.
So if I was giving advice, I would say don't think that it's going to be super easy. first of all. You're going to have to really hustle. Learn to be a really good salesperson, because that's how you're going to get work. And in fact, I mean, it's a little cynical, and I probably wouldn't tell somebody this, but quite honestly, if you were a really good salesperson, you can be a photographer without being a very good photographer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see it all the time.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a really good photographer and you want to like have good, great artistic integrity, just shoot constantly. Just shoot. Look at lots of work. You know, evaluate what's working, what's not. Keep shooting. And then as far as business, just become a good salesperson. Don't be bashful about it. Your work is great, even if it's not. I mean, just believe that it's great and keep working and it'll get better. If you can evaluate, this is the thing, if you can evaluate work and you believe your work is great and you're a good salesman, you will be successful. Because your work will always get better. And whatever stage you're at, if you're good at selling yourself, there'll be a client that's at that stage as well. Like, not everything has to be for a national company. You know, you can shoot something that's, you know, sort of okay and find the right client for it. And then when you're better, you find the next client.
Sage advice.
I hope so.
Josh Ross, thanks for coming down today and talking to me.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. It was a pleasure. I'm glad we were able to make it happen.
Now, before we go, where can people find samples of your work online or get in touch with you or socially network?
So the best place to go is joshrosscreative.com.
Okay.
I have all my social networks linked there, and I welcome connecting on any of those, and I always love hearing from people.
Perfect. Thanks, and enjoy the lovely afternoon. Here we are. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Ray.
Still checking. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Ray.
All right. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Ray.
That's the one. You gotta get the crowd worked up. So, what's new this week?
What's new this week?
Yeah.
I ate a lot of cake this weekend.
Oh, right.
So I'm still riding that sugar high.
Right? Yeah.
Wow. So this week already is cresting. It's
coming, hitting it in a firm sprint there.
How about you? What's going on?
I don't know. I'm excited about this Charles Mingus I was just playing live at the Jazz Workshop.
Yeah, that was
the sign good. Painter font. Yeah. Unfortunately, I just realized it does not list the album tracks on the record and on the sleeve. Let me see what was playing there because.
Well, that's weird.
It is. Well, okay, side one is just New Fables. So I suspect that's a...
Oh, the other side, Meditations?
That's right. It is on there.
So the track listing is on here.
Just... Yeah, it's two tracks. That's funny. I think that New Fables is reaction or a successor to Fables of Phobos or whatever that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway... I just love it. I just love how this record is just perfect. There's no groove. There's no tracks. It's just two songs, two sides. And it's like just so chaotic and like there's just bah, bah, bah. It's just like there's so much noise and it always gets me so excited just hearing it. It's just so like don't even care that it's recording or you know anything. When you it's funny when you look at it in the light, you can actually see it looks as though it has 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, maybe 6 tracks on it.
Yeah,
but that's actually just
there?
That's just sounds like how the different moods are in the record.
There's this one.
Yeah, it very clearly right looks like there's different, you know.
Something's going on there.
That's what I miss I don't miss them about records because I still listen to records, but I do miss about it when I'm listening digitally is you don't, unless you're listening to SoundCloud or something.
Mm.
A little SoundCloud player. You don't really see the waveform or anything, but on records, you're looking at the waveform in a way.
Yeah, you'd have to be staring at your iTunes and like configure it. Can you? Because you can get the like what is that called? It's like Command T. Sometimes I accidentally hit it when I
have iTunes open. Sort of screensaver mode.
When I want a new tab in Chrome. Yeah, and like you can get the, there's one that's just Soundwave, like Soundwave ones. So When my daughter was first born, I definitely like would, that was a soothing thing. Because sometimes
to see that
while I did some work or something, and I would like put that on.
Yeah. Back when I used to do a lot of acid, I would stare at that and just you see the waveforms. Oh my God, I could see the music. Yeah, those were the days. Now I just listen and enjoy. I assembled a house for my daughter this weekend.
A house?
Like a little one.
Like a toy, a playhouse?
A daughter-sized house, yeah. I could barely fit through the doorway, but...
Like out and out, is this outside or?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, in the yard. And, well, I've got it for her birthday in April, so it's about time I put the thing together. She didn't hold it against me. She's just glad to have it. But the whole time I was putting it together, I had the Black Sabbath Pandora station on, which I was enjoying. But, you know, the stuff, there's so like, I draw such a fine line with certain, like when I'm listening to Allman Brothers, if I put it on a playlist, it always puts on like that. Who's that guy with the name? Has Ray in his name?
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan. Hate him. Hate everything that he's ever recorded. Just even the thought of him makes me throw up my mouth. And that's the same with
I put on the cover of Little Wing is I really like.
And I don't want to say anything mean, so I'll just move on to the when I was playing the Black Sabbath. I don't want to offend anyone here. But I moved on to the Black Sabbath playlist. I kept throwing in Metallica. And I fucking hate Metallica. Oh my God.
I expected there's like a direct line there.
Right. I know. You can't blame Pandora, but you can blame Metallica.
But you can hate Metallica.
Yeah. I just like, they just like, it's like just when you thought they were out of your life and buried in your high school memories, they came out with that whole like, they were fighting the whole music sharing thing. You remember that?
Yeah.
Like
Napster.
Yeah. So not only does their music suck, but philosophically I disagree with them too, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a point in their career where they were just like, yeah, we're going to just be awful now. Like, as humans.
Yes, yes. And then they went into the studio to record an album.
Yeah.
But we're going to try something new here. I have this book that was given to me years ago, which I barely cracked the binding of, called 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going...
A Listener's Life List is the subtitle.
How empowering. So today we're going to pick our first of 1,000 tracks at random.
All right.
I guess. The funny thing about random is it's going to become increasingly hard. After we get through about 900, it's going to be like, no, choose again, no, choose again, choose again. But for now... It seems like a great idea.
But that's in almost 2 decades from now, so I think we'll get it. We'll get the hang of it. Well, we'll have invented something to randomly pick this.
A sequel, the next 1,000. So, Dan, will you do the honors, please?
All right. Do you have a... Are you feeling anywhere in the... I think it's alphabetical.
Yeah, it's alphabetical.
So it's not going to be... It's already... The randomness is already skewed a little.
Mm-hmm.
It's front of the alphabet? Back of the alphabet?
Boy, I don't know.
You got to pick?
It's tough.
All right. Here we go.
Don't pick Allman Brothers. Oh, nice. Wow, I can hear that.
All right. Good.
It really did crack the binding.
All right. I opened to Willis Allen Ramsey.
Okay.
Self-titled.
Really?
Country. It's a country album.
Okay. All right.
Oh, Texas singer-songwriter. All right. Feeling good about it already.
Okay.
Lyle Lovett called this one of the greatest records of all time.
Okay. Who's Lyle? I'm just kidding.
He's married to Julia Roberts for about 20 minutes once.
That's right. That's right.
He is in... What is that? Oh, no. The Producer? His role in The Producer is amazing.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's great. It's...
Great. Now I got to watch 1,000 movies.
It's famous for its opening shot. It's got one Steadicam shot that's like 18 minutes long. And during it, lots of people are having conversations about like the previous longest single cut.
Which
shot.
Was?
I have no idea. I can't remember.
Do you remember that one in that one gangster movie that was like, it wasn't like a Godfather movie, but it was like, it was
Goodfellas?
Yeah.
Where they're going through the club.
Yeah, the club. Yep. Oh, great long shot.
Mm.
Anyway.
This, the Lone Album by enigmatic Texas singer-songwriter Willis Allen Ramsey, gave the world one of the most poignant songs ever written about Woody Guthrie.
And half of its adjectives.
Yeah. All right. It also has Muskrat Love on it.
Muskrat Love.
Which later became a soft rock hit for the Captain and Tennille.
Did it ever.
Oh, boy.
I grew up to that song. Really? I can't wait to hear his version of that if it's not
Waylon Jennings covered a couple songs on this album.
Okay, this is exciting.
Sunvolt, Lyle Lovitz have covered songs off of this album.
Okay. I like how this is going here.
Yeah, let's see. There's a song called Watermelon Man. All right, can we find this?
I don't know.
It suggests that the next stop, if you like this album after listening to it, go check out Townes Van Zandt. That you can't go wrong there.
Wasn't he in the Sopranos?
Townes Van Zandt.
Who am I thinking of?
Oh, Steven Van Zandt, Little Steven from the E Street Band.
Yeah. Close.